Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Trey Wingo going to join us in about 30 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on all the crazy quarterback movement. But how about the Predators Saturday? I don't know about you guys. Yesterday, I was kind of just moving around the dial trying to watch some good sports. I watched Michigan-Ohio State basketball. I thought that was pretty good. I watched a little bit of the New Jersey Devils and the Washington Capitals, and I'm not going to lie. I watched the New Jersey Devils, and I thought, okay, this is the team that John Hines used to coach. And I watched the Washington Capitals, and I said, hey, there's Peter Laviolette. And I was trying to maybe take away at least a little positive from that, but there wasn't a whole lot there. Saturday was different. We had Vandy and the Vols playing basketball at the same time. The Vols got crushed in a prove-it game against Kentucky. I have a lot of concerns about Tennessee basketball, although I kind of never really drank the Kool-Aid on them, but we'll get to that later. And then I watched Predators game Saturday night. And it is not within, when you go into a toy store, I've never worked at a toy store before, but I have worked in an apartment complex before. And you never want to say to somebody when they walk in, hey, don't buy those toys, they're cheap. Like, hey, don't buy those cheap toys. They stink. Go buy that toy over there. Rent apartments, you say, hey, you can't tell somebody what they want. You know, you could think, you know, hey, a two-bedroom is the perfect price for you and the perfect, but you can't say that because they need to make that decision for themselves. So some people say, you know what, I think a three-bedroom would be better. And I'm like, oh, you know, the three-bedrooms may not be as nice as the two-bedrooms. But you don't do that. Because it's bad business. Or you certainly don't say, hey, Johnson Apartments down the street, they've got way better deals and great specials compared to us. And I certainly don't want to do that. And it is our business, this radio station's business, as the flagship station of the Nashville Predators, to want you to listen to every game. We want you to watch every game. We want you to listen to every game. We want to break down every game. And yet, even though they won Saturday night, I am having a hard time getting excited about one 4-2 victory. A very ugly 4-2 victory. They got a 2-0 lead, and I thought to myself, oh my God, they got a 2-0 lead. Who would have thunk it? Oh, goodness gracious. But winning that game doesn't necessarily make up for the loss they had the week before against Detroit or the loss they had 3-0 on Thursday against Columbus. So I can't get too caught up in that. And we talked about, hey, on Friday, if you own the team, what would you do? Most people want to tear it down. Most people want to start over again. And it now looks like that's really crept to the national media. The bottom five teams, according to The Athletic in the league, the fifth worst team is the Buffalo Sabres. The fourth worst team is the Nashville Predators. They are the fourth worst team in the entire league, according to The Athletic. And now the national hockey media is starting to get into, okay, let's start talking guys on this roster we can tear apart. Pierre LeBrun has an article in The Athletic, four trade destinations for Matthias Ekholm. And I hate the idea of trading Matthias Ekholm. I have said, both privately and publicly, that I believe trading Matthias Ekholm is the beginning of the rebuild. Because he was always the guy that I felt like made the most sense to start your rebuild around. I would love to keep Matthias Ekholm on the Predators. I think he is so much better than Ryan Ellis. I think it is almost unfortunate how much love and adulation Ryan Ellis gets compared to Matthias Ekholm. Because quite frankly, I don't think they're on the same level of player. But Ekholm is signed to a deal that includes this year and next for about $3 million and change. And for a two-way defenseman who's got speed and power and can move the puck and can score the puck and can go up against top lines and has playoff experience, that's really hard to find. So Pierre LeBrun lays out Boston, Winnipeg, Washington, and Philadelphia as potential spots that he thinks Matthias Ekholm could go to. And it's not stopping there. The national media is continuing their talk about what are the Preds going to do? Who's on the market? Who's off the market? And Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, goes on the midday show all the time. He said on Sportsnet in Canada, hey, the Predators aren't there yet to say, hey, blow it up, but they are getting there and they know how they want to proceed. Take a listen to what Elliot Friedman said.
All right, some other things around the league. First of all, the Nashville Predators, they entered the day seventh in points percentage in the Central Division, and there's talk about what they're going to do. Word is maybe only three untouchables. Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, and Pekka Rinne, who's towards the end of his career. I think other than that, the Predators are willing to listen on just about anybody. That includes Philip Forsberg. That also includes, I found really interesting, Dante Fabbro.
Okay, now that is a teardown. That is legitimately tearing down your roster, tearing down your team, and saying, all right, come and get it. It is not a fire sale, because a fire sale is everything must go, and you're not in that particular predicament, right? Like, including Dante Fabbro. You know, hey, if nobody wants to give you something you want for Dante Fabbro, then Dante Fabbro stays. You're probably not going to be able to move both Johansson and Duchesne even in the offseason. So one of those guys is probably going to stay. But it's getting pretty close. And so I get, you know, you watch the game on Saturday. They win the game. Good for them. Pat on the back. But you really think, man, you know, it is starting to bubble all of the discussion about tearing it down. And Pierre LeBrun and Elliot Freeman, they don't just make this kind of stuff up. The idea that, hey, Josi, Ellis, Pekka are not going to get traded. Everybody else, including Forsberg, is out there. And I think the Forsberg element raised some eyebrows, too. I think a lot of people heard that, and they were like, whoa, 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 not Forsberg. But he's only signed for this year and next year. You're not supposed to be good in that time period anyway. You wouldn't be trading Ekholm if you were supposed to be good in that time frame. So it makes sense to include Forsberg as a tradable asset. I mean, what would be great is to trade Forsberg, get a haul in return, and then re-sign him when he becomes a free agent in 2 years. I don't feel good about being able to do that, but it'd be nice. I guess we're just kind of getting there with the Predators, which is we kind of all see it. We kind of all feel it. And now the national media is starting to say, hey, they're getting close to selling. And my guess is the reason the national media is saying that is because they probably are getting close to selling. Because they probably have said to other teams, hey, we're not there yet. We are not there yet, but we are getting close to selling. And when we sell, everything is on the table again, except Josi, who cannot be on the table. Rinne, who, I mean, I asked him about it today. We'll get to that in a little bit. I asked him about the idea of tearing the team apart and selling, and how does that make him feel knowing he's played so long. And but I almost feel like with Pekka, you have to go to him and say, hey, what do you want? Because if this is his last year, or he's only going to play a couple more years, wouldn't the right thing to do go up to him and say, hey, if we can trade you to a team that's going to make a run, that has questions at goaltending, would you like to go to that team and give it one more shot? Or do you want to be on this team and not win a lot? So I don't know why Elliot Friedman said he was untouchable. Unless he said, hey, I'm not leaving. Like, I'm good here. Then fine. But I don't, that one I struggle with. The Ellis thing I struggle with, because I think, why? Why is Ryan Ellis untouchable? Why does every single person that is surrounding that hockey team kiss his butt so much? And I watch him play and I'm like, he's fine. He's not the same player he was on the 2017 Cup team. He's probably better than he was when I thought he was a little bit injured in 2019. But I mean, just everybody kisses his butt. That organization, they act like Ryan Ellis is on the same level as Roman Josi. Like, what the hell? No. I would totally, if I'm going to trade all those other guys, I would totally trade Ryan Ellis. So I don't know why Elliot Friedman is reporting that Ellis is untouchable, other than the fact that somebody has indicated to him that Ryan Ellis is untouchable. And I don't even understand why. If I were doing it, Josi would be untouchable. I would want to keep Forsberg. And I think Fabbro would be untouchable, because I don't think you can find, he makes a lot of mistakes, but I'm not sure you can just find like another top four-ish defenseman at his age. And by the time this team gets good again, he will be a top four defenseman quality player. You would at least assume so. So I don't know why they put Fabbro out there. He's cheap, unlike everybody else. He's going to be here for a while, you would assume, unlike everybody else. But that's the reporting. And I want to get excited, and I want to believe that Saturday night's game, hey, the Predators figured out the formula for how they're going to win some of these games. But it just feels like the further and further we go, they could win tomorrow night against Detroit. And I still think everybody probably would have made up in their minds that they're going to sell and they're going to tear this whole team apart. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, again, Pierre LeBrun has four teams that he would trade Matthias Ekholm to. I think that if I have a theory on trading Ekholm I want to get into. 615-737-1025. Plus, what's Pekka have to say about all the tearing it down, building it up? What do you know? What's that mean for an old guy like him? 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Hey, Preds fans, Smashville Live. That's right. Join us Wednesday this week for Smashville Live from 6 to 7 with special guests Rocco Grimaldi and Callie Yarncroak. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season. We'll feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and at thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, Ben, when it comes to your career and the point you're at that you've talked about and other people have talked about, the idea of the roster selling, how does that sit with you, knowing that you may not be here much longer, you may not be playing much longer?
It doesn't sit well. I mean, just to be blunt, but any time you struggle as a team, I think we went that kind of similar thing last year. And, there was a coaching change, and that was the first time in my career, middle of the season, went through a coaching change. It was a huge disappointment, and I think it was on us players. And I think same thing again this year. You know what I mean? After the first question, I think you just have to. I mean, it sounds boring, but you got to live in the present and build off from the win we got in Columbus, and we got a huge two games coming up in Detroit. I think everybody know both of us and Detroit sit in the bottom of Central, and it's gonna be big two games for us, and hopefully we can prove in these upcoming games that. We can boot ourselves back in the mix and back in the playoff picture.
That was Pecorine, and I understand the sentiment. I understand how Pekka feels. Hey, I think we can still get ourselves back into this. Still two big games this week against Detroit, and if we do that and then we win them. And I said on Friday, look, I'm going to need to see 8 of 9. I'm going to need to see, 10 out of 11, I'm going to need to see a run where not only are they winning a bunch of games in a row, but they are just playing a lot better hockey. And I think, I don't speak for you all, and I don't speak for anybody else other than me, when I say, I'm not sure I totally see that. And I feel so bad for Pekka. It's funny, we talk about the loyalty aspect with David Poile. We talked a lot about that on this show on Friday. And I do not feel, I feel like you owe it to David that if you're going to fire him, and, I put fire in quotation marks, you can say it however you want. If you tell David he's not in charge of picking the players and he's not in charge of handling the coaching staff and somebody else is in charge, you are in essence firing him, which I said I'd give him the end of the year. So I'm going to do that. But it's not looking good for David Poile. And everybody talks about the loyalty element of this, which is the Preds are not going to fire David Poile. And I guess I don't totally feel that free loyalty that we have to give this man the opportunity to rebuild the roster because, well, he's been the GM here for 20 years. Why do I owe him that? He has a salary, right? He gets paid pretty well, right? That's what you owe him. You don't owe him anything more than that. Maybe you owe him a nice gracious exit. You owe him a job in an office with a desk that he can put his pictures at when he's director of hockey liaison to the whatever. But you don't owe, him anything. It's Pekka that I really feel bad for, because he's playing some pretty good hockey. And you heard in the Elliott Friedman clip we played, Pekka is quote-unquote untouchable as far as the Preds and their trade discussions are concerned. And, you know, he's got 1 year left on his contract. He's got a kid now. You wonder, like, okay, is Pekka done? Like, is he done after this year? Now, again, he's playing really well. He's giving them a chance to win. The games they do happen to miraculously win, he's the only reason why. But is he done after this year? And then now I feel really bad for him. And I feel bad about tearing down the whole thing and putting Pekka, you know, in these games with no shot to win and his career's over. That's why if I was running the team, I would say, hey, what do you want to do? We're at a spot, Pekka, where we cannot compete at the level that we want to compete, and thus we gotta tear it apart. What do you want to do? Do you want us to look for a trade? And would you like to go to a cup contender, maybe be a backup goalie, maybe take somebody's spot? Would you like to be the starter in Washington? And I don't know how the cap situation will work out with all those teams, but would you like to go be a starting goalie on a team that's got a chance to win the cup and go end it that way? Or do you want to just ride it out here and we can have Pekka night and whatever? But I feel bad for him because he's paying what he owes. I don't. David Poile doesn't make a good move in 5 years. I don't feel bad for that guy getting fired. I'm sorry, Pekka. I feel terrible about the idea of saying to everybody, "All right, we're starting over." Sorry, Pekka. By the way, who had nothing to do with the fact that we got beat last year by Arizona because the coach wouldn't play you. Sorry. That bothers me. Ben texts into our text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and says, let's get the GM before we make any big moves. Don't trust someone desperate to keep their job to make these decisions. Let's not repeat what Bill O'Brien did to the Texans with the Predators. Don't need bad moves on the way out. That is a tough one. Woo, is that a tough one? And here's why it's tough, because I agree with the sentiment. I agree with the idea of, boy, if you sit there and you give, I mean, if you've decided that this roster that David Poile built you is not good enough, and again, this is if you own the team or if you're in charge or whatever, you decide that the roster that you have is not good enough, in large part to some screw-ups on David Poyle's end, and you're going to, whatever the nice way of firing David Poile at the end of the year is, which is, if I own the team, probably the path I'm headed. How can I trust him to rebuild my roster? Like, I know I can go to him and I can say, hey, we want to sell. And we want to sell. And then, you know, not tell him if you own the team. Hey, you tell him, yeah, you know, we want you to build us up. We want you to dig us out of this. And then on April or on May 3rd, call him into the office and say, yeah, about that. Sorry, we're going to have to make a change. I understand that. And that is a business decision. But it is worth bringing up, you know, if you're going to sell off all these parts, do you want Poile to do it or do you want another general manager to do it who is going to be the general manager for the long haul? Texter says, the talk of overhauling the roster is ridiculous. Could you live with the current goaltending depth for another 4 years? Yes, says the texter. Could you live with the D-man top four for the next 4 years? Yes. It's the offense that needs retooling. Get rid of the guys on Vingan's list, except for Matthias Ekholm, but search for three new forwards. But one of your replacement is Tomasino, so you only need two forwards. Yeah, I'm going to say no. The idea of could I live with the goaltending depth for another 4 years? No. UC Saros, and I read an article The Athletic had put out, but UC Saros, a lot of unnamed scouts and general managers were saying, yeah, I think he's a good backup. I'm not sure he can play a whole season. I'm not sure he can be the guy for a whole season. We've seen one playoff series, and now him try to be the starter this year, and he's not good enough. Pekka is probably not going to be here after this year. So, no, I don't trust the depth for the next 4 years. I don't like the top four on D right now. I like Ekholm and I like Yossi. I think Ryan Ellis is overrated and overpaid, and I think Dante Fabbro makes too many mistakes and should be on a third pair or in Milwaukee getting better every day so that when he comes back, he doesn't make those mistakes because his mistakes are critical. So I don't agree with the premise of either point. Plus, the forwards on this team, I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And don't even get me started on the fact that the coach changes the lines every 20 seconds, because that drives me insane too. How are these guys going to get any chemistry playing with each other if the coach flips the lines every other period? I mean, I don't like the coaches who you got to, you know, take a crowbar to in order to get them to change the lines. But, I mean, come on. Give these guys a chance to gel a little bit. So, no, I the idea of, you know, the overhauling the roster, that's crazy talk. Not for me. I think there is legitimate reason for that. And I think I can say comfortably, look, man, it was a nice run. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Carson Wentz is in Indianapolis, and it feels like a lot of people in the national media are just giving the division to the Colts. Trey Wingo will join us next. What does Trey think of some of the moves in the NFL? Plus, the salary cap lowering means a lot of names are going to be out there. What does he make of that as well? Trey Wingo will join us next right here. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Hey, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, that is my official sportsbook app. And one of the things I love is you can bet on basketball and you can always find new prop bets, game props, player props, any day of the week. What's cool about the FanDuel Sportsbook app is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called the Same Game Parlay Bet, and you can only find them on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Player point totals, rebounds, assists, money line, over, under, point spreads, and much, much more. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with Same Game Parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every day. That's why I bet on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, and when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try a same-game parlay and use the promo code JGM when you sign up. That's promo code JGM. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. About 3 weeks ago, I took a piece of paper and I started writing down where I thought all these quarterbacks were going to end up. So this was after Jared Goff, the Matthew Stafford trade. I already missed on a couple. I thought Carson Wentz was going to stay in Philly. Nope, he's going to Indianapolis. So my idea of Mac Jones and Ryan Fitzpatrick in Indianapolis, go ahead and forget about that. I literally was going through it. I have the piece of paper today I'm keeping for this quarterback carousel this year. Like, I have Big Ben stays in Pittsburgh. Jameis Winston in New Orleans. That all can change this week. Jimmy G, I said, Chicago. I don't know. It's all up in the air. And with that, Trey Wingo joins us, longtime NFL guy. Now he's got his own podcast out, Trey Wingo Presents. You can find it on YouTube. Trey Wingo joins us. So, Trey, Carson Wentz goes to Indianapolis last week. Everybody's all excited about what that means. And yet I'm still trying to figure out where all these other, you know, quarterback Plinko chips are going to lie. What do you make of kind of this weird offseason with all these moving pieces and all these rumors and all these trade negotiations and everything else that's out there?
Listen, I'm with you. I still am stunned that the Eagles have decided that it's worth a $34 million cap hit for a player not on their roster. It's remarkable. And I don't quite understand what their philosophy is at this point, because you got rid of a head coach that won you a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and now you've gotten rid of a guy who was an MVP a couple of years ago, and on pace to be the MVP a couple of years ago. So I'm as stunned as you that the whole Carson Wentz thing went down. Now, if you read Twitter, apparently every team is trading for every quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. That's sort of the milestone. Oh, this guy's going here. I have no idea if anybody's going anywhere, to be perfectly honest. There will be some movement. I'm not sure it's going to be as drastic as most people are saying. But again, I would have said that Carson Wentz was staying in Philadelphia. So, yep. Listen, it's sort of like the silly season now. And it used to be March Madness was about college basketball. But over the last couple of years, March Madness has really turned into free agent frenzy in the NFL. And so it's a great time for wild speculative thoughts. And we'll see how much substance there actually is to any of this.
It's funny you say that. I mean, Tennessee lost a huge basketball game on Saturday to Kentucky, and we haven't even really talked about it today. I mean, but hey,
right?
We did an hour on the salary cap for the Titans.
Yeah, it's just nuts how the NFL has just decided to swallow the month of March whole and take it away, except for the Final Four from college basketball.
Trey, that trade for Carson Wentz, I feel like there's two lanes of thought here. One lane is Wentz didn't get along with people in Philadelphia. His teammates turned their back on him. You heard all the unnamed sourcing articles that came out. You heard the jubilation when Jalen Hurts took over as a starter. You heard the, hey, some guys like Foles, some guys like Wentz. You also have the people that say, hey, Frank Reich was instrumental in why Wentz was so good in 2017, and he'll do that in Indianapolis. Some people are forgetting the Titans won the division last year. Where do you sit on Indianapolis now that Carson Wentz is their quarterback?
Well, let's start with one thing. Like, all this stuff always comes out after someone's gone or after they've had a bad season. You know when they never say any of this stuff? When the guy's playing well. So all this, he was this, he didn't like him, people thought he was stand. All that has to be filtered through a lens of because they weren't winning. Because if they were winning, you know how many people would have said that? Zero. So this is all so pendulum-y based on past results. Because Carson Wentz hasn't fundamentally changed who he was from 2017 to 2020. The results changed. So all these things that people didn't think were a problem when he was winning suddenly are now a problem when he's losing, and I find that to be somewhat ridiculous.
Trey Wingo is our guest. What do you think is going to happen with Deshaun Watson, and how fascinating is this kind of, not just from a Houston standpoint, but from a whole league standpoint?
Listen, again, you're talking to a guy who didn't think Carson Wentz was going to be traded. But if you're telling me, if you're telling me that over a year, less than a year, that Houston Texans are going to trade away DeAndre Hopkins for a running back, an injured running back, they're going to divide a wedge between the franchise and the franchise quarterback, and they're going to release the best player in Texans history, J.J. Watt, I would have said you're crazy. But now it appears that that might be the case. Now, Nick Caserio has been steadfast in saying we are not trading Deshaun Watson. But that, then it becomes how difficult does Deshaun and his people want to make that possibility for him. Listen, if the Texans trade away Deshaun Watson, they should be relegated like English Premier League teams, okay? This is gross, incompetent mismanagement at the highest level of an NFL franchise. And it drives me bananas to think that this franchise is willing to do that to a team that made the playoffs a year ago. They made the playoffs a year ago. I just don't understand what is going on inside that Texans organization, because it has nothing to do with football savvy. I can promise you that.
Which one of these guys, and I'm totally with you. I mean, I don't understand how Jack Easterby gets as big of a role as he gets with the Texans, and Deshaun doesn't like him and they keep him. But hey, I guess it's probably good for the Titans. What do you make of kind of all these guys that are getting discarded? You know, Wentz is on the move, or Bridgewater looks like he's going to be out in Carolina, or Goff is out in L.A., guys that really aren't wanted. Which guy do you think has the potential to be the Ryan Tannehill of 2021?
Well, listen, Goff is a capable player, and I think the guy going to the best situation, though, is Wentz. I mean, like you said, Frank Reich was instrumental in how good he was in Philadelphia, and that's a really good football team. Now, they have some issues at wide receiver, but everything else, I think, is really pretty solid for them. I don't think T.Y. is coming back at the dollar price, so that's why I'm getting the caveat there in the wide receivers. But Wentz is in a really good position to do very well, and I also think Stafford's going to do incredibly well in Sean McVay's offense. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I mean, I know that's a different sort of scenario because he was let go after 11 years, and the Lions did him a solid. But I think Stafford is – like, to me, there are really four elite arms in the NFL, like, that can make every throw, do everything, right? It's the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the Aaron Rodgers, and Matthew Stafford. I mean, those are the dudes. If you want to talk about guys that still have a hose and can sling it, those are the four dudes in the NFL. And so I think Stafford going to the Rams with Sean McVay is going to be huge.
There's a lot, Trey. There's a lot of there's a lot of rumors, whether it's the local Boston media, whether it's the national media. you know, I brought this up the other day. Field Yates wrote in a piece at ESPN, Field Yates wrote that he could see Marcus Mariota as the next quarterback of the New England Patriots. A lot of people have written that. And I mean, as you know Field very well, as do I.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty tied into that organization as far as far as New England is concerned. Is this a legitimate thing? Belichick, McDaniels, and Mariota? The entire city of Nashville would be rooting like crazy for Mariota because of the kind of guy he was. But, like, that's the guy that Bill's going to try to rebuild it with is Marcus Mariota?
Let me just put this about Field. Bill Belichick was at Field's wedding. So, yeah, he's pretty tied into the Patriots organization. Okay, so you're right there. As a former scout, and he and Bill get along very well. I'm not saying that's where he's getting his information, but he knows that building as well as anybody. Look, it's intriguing, right? I thought Marcus played really well when he got a chance, for the Raiders in those limited opportunities. I think that Bill understands that he had the benefit for a lot of years of not only arguably the best quarterback of all time, but a guy who was willing to manage the cap a little bit and be the best quarterback of all time. And so now Bill's got to try and find a way to manufacture some stuff and potentially keep that cap management part of it in play. What would be really interesting to me, because I don't think Cam is dead in the water in New England, and I'm pretty sure that New England isn't completely out on Cam. If you get a Cam Newton and a Marcus Mariota in New England, then you have a really interesting dynamic, because those are players that can do sort of the same thing. And then is that the offense we're looking at going forward with New England, which I find interesting.
Trey Wingo with us. Looking at the salary cap, I read a Pro Football Talk report today said it's either going to be $182 million or it's going to be $183 million. It's not going to be $185 million, which some teams are pushing for, but it's going to be a higher than $180 million. You know, a team like the Titans, for example, if it was $210 million like we thought, they'd have $30 million in space. Instead, they're going to have to create a little bit of space, but they're right there, and the Titans are an okay cap. You know, they have an okay cap space. Some teams have great cap situations like Indianapolis or Jacksonville or New England. Some teams like the Eagles, the Saints, have terrible cap situations. What do we make of what free agency is going to look like this year with the guys that are going to hit the market that expect to get paid, and then the guys like the J.J. Watts, who probably aren't on the market in a normal year, but everybody's going to have to release players because they expected $30 more million in cap space?
Well, I think the one thing we'll learn is the cap is always manageable, right? It's something malleable and something that you can push around. I mean, for God's sakes, we just mentioned the Eagles are going into this with a $34 million dead cap hit for a player that's not there. So there's always ways to manage the money. I think that's the most important thing that people need to understand. When people claim cap space, it's really because they didn't want to spend it and they didn't want to be creative in other places. Everybody has limitations. But if the Eagles can find a way to function as a team with a $34 million dead cap hit, then that tells you that the cap is something that needs to be looked at less critically, for lack of a better term.
I think I totally agree. I mean, it's not basketball where the cap makes no sense to me, and I don't understand, it's literally like trying to do trigonometry, trying to figure out the NBA cap. And it's not hockey where it's, hey, if you sign the guy, you're responsible for it. It's somewhere there in between. Trey Wingo, he is one of the best. And I think I speak for more than just me, Trey, but I don't know who else I speak for when I say that we miss you and we are going to really, really miss you in about 2 months. But again, I'm just speaking for me on this. But you do have the podcast Trey Wingo Presents. It's out on YouTube. And I think everybody knows that when it comes to the NFL and really when it comes to sports in general, there are few sportscasters in your league, Trey.
Well, Jared, that means a lot to me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Anytime. Thank you.
Yep, Trey Wingo joining us. And again, check out his podcast, The Trey Wingo Presents. And I do wonder what Trey's next move is in the broadcasting world. I mean, I think it's, to me, there are guys that don't really move the needle that are on television. And it's like, yeah, anybody could do that job. And I think, Trey would be one of the first people to say, hey, somebody else is going to host the NFL draft this year. And we'll still watch the NFL draft, just like when Chris Berman handed it off to Trey. We still watch the NFL draft, but it's just not the same. There are some guys in this industry who I believe have the juice. And you lose a guy like that. Al Michaels, I think, is one of those guys who Look, I know that the plan for NBC is for Michaels to do, I think, another Super Bowl, and then Michaels is going to turn it over to Tirico, and Tirico's good, but he's not Michaels. And I think Trey Wingo is one of those kind of broadcasters. So really, really glad that we were able to have Trey on there. By the way, Cam and Marcus in New England, oof, go from 20 years of Tom Brady to that. Oh, man. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Plus, I have a thought on something that Trey and I just discussed. And it does have to do with the quarterback carousel. And we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company is right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, who loves free beer? Everybody loves free beer. That's why we are kicking off Fridays with your opportunity to win free beer. Tune in all day Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at the Opry Mills Mall. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
So we have asked everyone on the show today to predict what will be the biggest quarterback headline from this week. And Tim, I'm starting with you. What will be this week's big quarterback story?
Well, how about Marcus Mariota to the New England Patriots? Look, the Patriots love to be value shoppers. Marcus Mariota played really well last year in relief. He's due just $10.5 million, which means he could easily be paired with a young quarterback. And I think it's just his ability as a runner, but also as a passer. I think it would actually be a great fit in New England and makes a lot of sense. There's clearly interest in him around the league.
That was Tim Hasselbeck this morning on ESPN saying Mariota to the Patriots. And you hear that $10 million cap number. It should be noted, $10 million for a quarterback is a great bargain if he is your starting quarterback. $10 million for a backup is not acceptable, I don't think, in the $182 million, if that's what the Pro Football Talk report says, which we'll get to in a little bit. But if it is $182 or $183 million, I'm not sure you can afford to pay your backup $10 million. We all know the Titans could not afford to pay their backup $10 million. And the Raiders re-upped on a one-year deal. I think it was like $1.2 million, I think, for Nathan Peterman. Well, they're definitely not going to give Carr's got a legitimate quarterback contract. Mariota 10, Peterman 1. I don't think so. There's a thought that Mariota could get released with the Raiders. And yes, Tim Hasselbeck said it today on ESPN. Field Yates wrote about it last week. Also went on Darren Donick and Chase and talked about it. I think there's a chance Mariota is the next quarterback of the New England Patriots. As Field Yates wrote at ESPN.com last week, quote, the Patriots are among a group of teams that are too far from the top of the draft order to be a likely landing spot for one of the draft prospect quarterbacks, meaning we're examining veteran options who could be logical fits. While a Cam Newton return isn't totally ruled out, it is an unlikely option. The 27-year-old Mariota is under contract for one more year with the Raiders, but carries a cap charge of $10.725, an unlikely tab for them to pay for a backup in a cap-tightened year. Be it via trade or cut, Mariota could find a new home this offseason, and the Patriots are a logical fit. Trey Wingo just said on our show, Trey, who no longer works at ESPN, but did for forever with Field Yates, and laughed when I said, you know, Field Yates has some insight into that Patriots organization. And you heard what Trey Wingo just said when he said, yes, Bill Belichick was at Field Yates' wedding. Now, that doesn't mean that Belichick is going to Field Yates with all the inside info, but he was a scout in New England. He's obviously still close with the Belichicks. I wonder, you know, Jeff Howe wrote in The Athletic, there was a story about what are the options for the Patriots at quarterback. And I clicked it. And do you know why I clicked it? Ian, why do you think I clicked it? Jeff Howe, who's a longtime writer in Boston. I think he used to be with the Boston Herald for forever. Now he's with The Athletic. Do you know why I clicked the story in which the headline was high prices, patience needed, what I'm hearing about the Patriots search for a new quarterback? Why do you think I clicked that article?
That is a good question.
Because the picture was of Marcus.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, okay, you know, it's starting to add up. Is Marcus part of the discussion? And as I read the entire article, all it said about Marcus, and it talked about all, you know, how much it cost for Stafford, how much it cost for Wentz, what, you know, what kind of moves could be made. And he writes, quote, "So far, the Patriots have been disciplined in their approach. They spoke to the Lions about Stafford and to the Eagles regarding Wentz. But the Patriots weren't serious contenders for either quarterback due to the asking price." Which, by the way, let me state for the record, I never would have given up what Indianapolis gave up for Carson Wentz. I would have brought Jacoby Brissett back. Everybody is acting like a third-round pick and a conditional second is not that bad. But the conditions on the second are that if Wentz is legitimate, it becomes a first. So they gave up a first and a third for Carson Wentz. I don't like that trade. I wouldn't have done it. And he writes that they weren't serious, Hal writes, that they weren't serious contenders for either quarterback due to the asking price. Quote, "The rest of the candidates on the trade market have been well established. Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota, and Sam Darnold. It's possible Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, and Nick Foles could also be among that group." By the way, Minshew is the one guy who never gets talked about. I am not convinced that he sucked as bad in Jacksonville as he is. Like, I am not convinced that he stinks. Now, I don't think you're going to go win the Super Bowl with Gardner Minshew as your starting quarterback, and I wouldn't take him over Trevor Lawrence, but I watched last year them tank with running Mike Glennon out there, and then they went back and said, you know what, it's probably a bad idea. Let's go ahead and put the other guy back in there. And when they put the other guy back in there, it was definitely a lot different with Minshew. But I cannot. There are two things on the Marcus to New England front. There is the first part of me that just is absolutely giddy about the idea that Marcus Mariota could be the starting quarterback for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. That means that every big game they play next year, and there are a lot of them because Belichick and the Patriot brand is still legit, but every game they play, I could at least have a rooting interest that is beyond that of a gambling interest. I could have a rooting interest in every Patriots game this season because they could have Marcus Mariota as the starting quarterback. And there's a part of me that thinks, you know what? Field Yates is really connected. And now it's starting to get out there everywhere. Marcus to the Patriots, Marcus in New England. Could that be a fit? And I don't know. And it's like there's starting to be a little smoke. And you know what they say, where there's smoke, there's fire. But then there's the other part of me that just can't see Bill Belichick doing it. Now, I couldn't see Bill Belichick starting Cam Newton at quarterback last year, and he did. I couldn't see Bill Belichick letting Tom Brady walk away. And he did, although Brady had a lot of say in that. But this, I mean, this is something. I cannot see Belichick putting his reputation, at least a little bit of his reputation, I cannot see him putting his reputation in Mariota. It's one thing to lose Tom Brady and then you have a bad year and then, hey, you know, our salary cap was all messed up, but now here comes Bill and here come the Patriots and they may not win another Super Bowl, but they're going to be a good team because Bill's a good coach. That's one thing, but it is a totally different thing when you're looking at it and saying, yeah, well, actually what's going on here is Marcus Mariota is going to be our starting quarterback. What?
Yeah, do they really see Marcus as a multi-year thing? If he were to sign as a starter? Or is it a one-year thing and they're back over to the drawing board once again?
I mean, it can't be any different than it was last year with Cam.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be like, well, what was the Cam thing? Like, yeah, this is a one-year thing, and if it works, then we'll keep it going. I can't see it being anything more than that. I wonder if this is a diversion, right? Hey, let's pump Mariota up. Let's make this about Marcus. Let's just Marcus. And then, bam, trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. And make Jimmy the quarterback. Because if I were picking for the Patriots, and I love Marcus with all of my heart, and I know a lot of you do too. But if I were picking for the Patriots, I would also go Jimmy Garoppolo over Mariota, especially considering that Jimmy knows them and they know him. Texter to the text line at 615-737-1025 says, Indianapolis is losing a ton of key starters from last year, and they will need to replace most of them. Anthony Costanzo, their left tackle, T.Y. Hilton, wide receiver, Justin Houston, outside linebacker, Denico Autry, the defensive tackle, Xavier Rhodes, the corner, Marlon Mack, the running back, Malik Hooker, the safety, Anthony Walker, Jacoby Brissett, and then 10 other solid components of last year's team. That is a lot with only $40 million in cap space. Let me say this about Indianapolis. And I think Chris Ballard does a good job. But every year, every pundit tells us how good Indy's roster is. And then they win like, you know, 10 games and they make it to the playoffs and then they lose. Like, what makes Indy's roster so much better all the time than everybody else's roster? How's it better than Green Bay's roster? Green Bay has a star quarterback, a star wide receiver, a star left tackle, solid offensive line, good group of running backs, nice pass rushers, decent at times in the secondary, a lockdown number one corner. How is their roster better than Green Bay's? I hear that all the time. Indy's got a great roster. Chris Ballard is a genius. I think Ballard's a good general manager. I don't think he's Bill O'Brien running the Texans. But are we really going to pump Chris Ballard's tires up that much? I mean, you know, the Andrew Luck thing, when he took the job, he thought he was building a team around Andrew Luck. Then Andrew Luck just all of a sudden up and retires, and now he's got to try to figure out what he can do without Andrew Luck and then go out and try to find another quarterback. So this is kind of hard. But I thought he overpaid on the Carson Wentz front. Fred in Ashland City texts in and says, to be fair, Mariota had a chance to win 10 games a few times with a more depleted Titans team. What really held him back were the injuries. If he could stay healthy, he could have been a decent quarterback. He has had almost 2 years to fix his body now. I think there's some truth to that. And I've always wondered, remember the elbow? He hurt it week one of 2018, and it was a problem that whole year. Then he comes back and he says, I'm fine. But if he were to say, nope, the elbow's still a problem and it's been almost over a year since I first heard it and I don't know how to get the elbow right, then he would have lost his job to Tannehill. So no, he would have never said that. But I remember going to that Patriots practice and I'd watch Brady on one field just zip BBs and I'd walk over on the other side and Marcus was just throwing wobbly ducks. And while it was a small sample size, and he did not win the game, and he threw a costly interception, Marcus against the Chargers looked pretty good. He looked different than the Marcus that we saw at the end of his tenure here. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Pro Football Talk has a report on what the salary cap is going to be next season. And it is not good news for the Titans. And it's really not good news for anybody in the NFL. Some teams a lot worse than others. Some teams are a lot worse than the Titans. But where I really get mad at John Robinson, where I really look at this and say, man, did he screw up. And he tried to defend it last week, but when you really look at it, this may be the biggest mistake John Robinson made of all of last year. When you put it into context, and the best part about it, for me, hardest part maybe to swallow, is that Floyd saw it coming. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.